Hi, I'm Phil Vickery, and you're listening to the Mall Over podcast.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Mall Over podcast, the only rugby podcast that gives you all the news, views, and opinion about the weekend's rugby action, all with the West Country accent. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Mall Over Podcast, Mall Over Rugby Podcast on Facebook. And all of our podcasts are landed on Anchor, as well as Apple Podcasts and other podcatching apps. There was some rugby at the weekend, but it was the end of the Six Nations. England was shit, but won it, and we don't really want to talk about it. So, with the impending lockdown, we've decided to bring back a popular favourite. As you all enjoyed it so much, I'm going to welcome back our resident quiz host, guestular Adam, and we're going to do some punch and chat. How you doing, Adam?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm a bit miffed that I still haven't been invited to come and do an actual rugby podcast.
I mean, you're more than welcome if you want. It's not all it's cracked up really. to be honest.
Well, I do listen. You know, it's average.
Seven of nine.
It's the best rugby-related podcast that I listen to.
I mean, that is high praise indeed. Mm-hmm. You've already heard the Lensman. Lensman loves a bit of punch and chat, as well as sporting videography. got any of that planned during lockdown?
I'm a cameraman, not a videographer.
Are you a camera operator?
That would be correct.
Are you an owner-operator or just an operator?
Just an operator. I am an operator, much like the SAS.
Oh, wow. And making up the quad of this week's Punch and Chat is long snapper conglomerate regular contributor Patrick Jackson. Welcome, Pat.
Thanks, Russ. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to have you. With your anecdotes and your bizarre sporting insights are more than welcome. Adam, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I'll also point out what you may not have noticed is there are only three contestants. Ben should have been participating tonight, the nicest man in podcasting, but I don't know where he is. So,
well, we got himself that's for you, Ben. Suspended from Twitter, didn't he? So, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't very nice to the president of the United States.
I think that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Just to remind, shall I remind people of the rules? There aren't that many rules.
You can do if you want.
I'm mainly going to use this just to check that the soundboard on my phone still works. Basically, I will ask you questions and randomly score points as I see fit. This is 1 point, 3 points, 5 points, but more importantly, minus one or minus three. So there you go. Traditionally on Punching Chat, we start with a rugby question, and I'm going to do what's traditional because I do like a bit of tradition. So, with all foreseeable internationals only involving European teams in the near future, by the spring, who are you going to be absolutely sick of the sight of? And Doug, let's start with you, sir.
There's only one answer for this, and that's nauseating, boredom-inducing, overcomplicated, crappy rugby Twitter accounts analysing set-piece moves from the base of a line-out. I don't need to expand on that.
No, I'll give you another point though.
Thanks.
Okay, Pat.
Being the least rugby knowledgeable person on the show, I went for what felt like the obvious answer, and that is Owen Farrell and his smug face. Because honestly, I get sick of that after about 5 minutes into a game, let alone through a whole summer of international games, winter of international games, whatever is happening. So, yeah, that's it for me.
He has got an eminently smug face, doesn't he? It is pretty bad. It's right up there with Johnny Sexton.
Johnny Sexton's face is too small.
So we need to pair him off with Sam Darnold and average it out to a normal size face. Then.
Yeah. Yes.
Can a face be both too big and too small at the same time?
I think a face can be too small, but the head can be too big, which is really, really weird.
Very common amongst hookers.
It depends if your features are disproportionate to the rest of your head.
Yeah. He's packed in, isn't he?
Imagine having those features and having your head upside down. Anyway, Russ, you need to answer the question.
I think I will answer the question right after I said Johnny Sexton looks like a fat Chinese kid that's been slimmed down a bit. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you see the pictures of the big Chinese kid weightlifters and stuff, that they've got really fat faces, and Johnny Sexton's just kind of slimmed down.
His face seems to get smaller while his shoulder pads get bigger.
A bit like Alexis Carrington.
Yeah.
Niche for all you Dynasty fans. Was it Dallas?
Dynasty over here, mate.
Anyway, right. My answer is, ironically, after that last couple of comments, it's Ireland and just Ireland in general. Irish rugby, they're smug when they win, horribly smug when they win, but they are the most incredibly bitter when they lose. They can say that England are bad winners and bad losers. I disagree. Only because, you know, you can be magnanimous in defeat, whereas the Irish are the most, the Irish rugby supporting fraternity on the whole are the most bitter set of people I think I've ever come across, metaphorically speaking.
Nice of Russ to get the most obvious answer to the show out of the way nice and early there.
But
shots fired.
There's more to Ireland than this. Did you know you could get there for 40 euros on a plane?
Incredible.
Right. Next question. It's been a while since we've done this. Lots of lackluster sport has happened in the meantime in mostly empty stadiums. But what has been your favourite sporting moment since COVID hit? Pat, let's start with you.
I mean, I'm hoping that by the end of lockdown, we'll have seen the firing of Dave Caldwell. So I'm hoping we'll have a new entrant in a few weeks or so.
But won't you just get Graham Wesley back?
Wrong franchise, but nice try.
I don't care.
It will be Alex Revel, not Caldwell.
I mean, to be honest, getting Graham Wesley in at the Jags ahead of Adam Gase would be a relief. So, you know, I'd take that.
That's why I said evil. It was kind of a hybrid for those who don't know about your Stevenage roots.
Like Taysom Hill. So I think the serious answer to this was Armand Duplantis setting the outdoor pole vault world's best 6 meters 15, eclipsing Sergei Bubka's height, which I never thought I'd see the day. It's been a really good season for pole vaulting with Sam Kendricks going over 6 meters as well. Lots of really good competitions. And I say world's best because he set the personal best indoors in Glasgow on the 8th of February. But should indoor count? I'm not sure it should. So 6:15, world's best, amazing, Armand Duplantis.
What I loved, that's a weird one. I don't think anyone necessarily expected it. Sergei Bubka, what I loved about him was the fact that his goal in life wasn't how many Olympic gold medals he could win or how many world championship gold medals he could win or indeed how high he could vault. It seemed to be how many times he could break the world record. So he'd engineer it so he'd just go a centimetre higher at a specific meet. And then a couple of months later, he'd do it. So he'd obviously...
He'd probably got a bonus for doing it.
Yeah, I imagine.
And when you're half a metre better than everyone else in the world, you can nominate your own high ones. You've knocked all them out with your first jump and just go, yeah, I'll do this one today, I think.
Constantly vaulting within himself. Okay, Russ, what was your favourite moment?
It's been a difficult one for me, but I am going to... I'm going to go for Ben Stokes and his historic performance on day five of the second test against South Africa back in January. He took the final three wickets, led England to a 189-run victory over the Proteas, and he showed off his phenomenal talent despite his father being ill and he, you know, being injured and all sorts of other different bits and pieces.
So this is a pre-lockdown moment that you've come up with here.
It's 2020, mate. You said 2020, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. In that case, Exeter are winning the Champions Cup. But even that was...
Don't even bother. In fact, the fact that you tried to come up with another answer, just more points off. That went well for you, didn't it? Doug?
Yeah, my favourite moment was when Owen Farrell decapitated that Wasps youth team player in the match and got sent off, and then Twitter imploded into a black hole of shit. That was my favourite bit. Just watching people absolutely foaming at the mouth, saying that he should be banned forever. And this poor little one, I mean, literally, the bloke's head was still rolling on the floor when people were tweeting about how much of an arsehole Owen Farrell was. I've no idea how many people, given that it wasn't actually open to the public, managed to see him do it. But yeah, it was. It's not that it was a bad tackle. It's that it was so egregious that even Owen Farrell, one of the most systematically unapologetic human beings alive, was like, yeah, that was bad. Sorry about that. But yet still, here we are. And the Irish still aren't, they haven't stopped going on about it. So yeah, that was my favourite bit.
Very similar to your first answer in a lot of ways.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just the reaction.
It might be people. A theme.
Yeah, I think
so.
It's
a good theme.
All right, time for the platinum Jiffy bag question. And if you match my answer, you will get an extra 9 points. Although in this case, it's not actually my answer. The answer to this comes from Mrs. F, who is, well, you'll realise when you hear the question, much better placed to answer this than I am. This is in honour of Phil Elkins, who couldn't make it either. Housewives favourite. But who is sports housewives' favourite? Russ?
I thought about it for a little bit. Not too long, obviously. It's punch and chat. But the first person that came to mind when I thought about a housewives' favourite was Clipboard Jesus himself, Charlie Whitehurst, who is arguably one of the most handsome men on the planet, or certainly was during his prolific balling years, and I bet he absolutely slayed some chicks at that period of time.
He's still at it, I'm sure.
Probably, absolutely no danger whatsoever. But once I'd moved past the fact that not one housewife and probably Mrs. F wouldn't have picked him out of a lineup, went to probably the most obvious answer in the world and went for David Beckham.
Yeah, okay. Bit predictable, but you know, this is where we are. Doug, housewife's favourite.
Okay, so I didn't realise that Mrs. F was picking this, so I went ahead and said Jose Mourinho, just because, you know, of my era, there was a lot of housewives that were got a little bit juiced up about him. So, but what?
I mean, let's just have a little bit of appreciation for the phrase "got a little bit juiced up about him."
At least he didn't say moist.
But also, obviously, Mrs. F is a Tottenham. Is she a Tottenham fan as well, Adam, or is she just not a fan? But she, because you're
mostly agnostic. But yeah.
But look, so yeah, you're right. And Russ, I think you might be in with a shout with Clipboard Jesus. But I think the thing that would get a lot of women fizzy, but especially Mrs. Foxcroft. I'm gonna change and go completely off piste here and say Sir Alistair Cook.
Oh yes.
There we go.
I wish I picked the platinum Jiffy bag answer myself right now. Do you know what? I'm gonna give you 9 points myself. There you go.
Magic. Cheers, mate.
And he wouldn't even sweat on her.
Yeah, if I caught Cook in bed with my wife, I'd make sure he was tucked in nice and tight and bring him a cup of Ovaltine, whatever he wanted. Okay, Pat, who's your housewife's favourite? Sports housewife's favourite?
Yeah, this got kind of weird. I've done the opposite to Doug, I think, and I've gone by pub quiz rules of don't change your first answer because you're bound to change to something wrong and annoy yourself. So my second thought was Roger Federer, And that led me to think, well, maybe, you know, Phil Rivers, he's had 19 kids at this point, so he must be someone's housewife's favourite. But I've stuck with my first answer.
As funny as that is.
I've gone for, stuck with my first answer and gone for the tremendously handsome, very sportingly fit, very kind and gentle and generous Mr. Jenson Button.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Have some more points. This really annoys me because I don't like the Platinum Jiffy Bag answer at all. And one of you said it, and it was David Beckham.
Oh, of course it did.
Yeah. You have to have some more points, Russ.
Mrs. Foxcroft needs to get a wow, 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 doesn't she?
Although she has just heard as Sir Alistair Cook mentioned and her ears pricked up, the reaction was, how did I not think of him? So she's redeemed herself a bit.
As long as she isn't changing the Platinum Jiffy Bag question answer, then that's fine.
Oh, I mean, I gave Doug 9 points myself, so I'm happy with that. Right, look, a quick look at the scores. Pat, you're
taking it.
You're only on 17, but you didn't get 9 points from that round, unfortunately. Russ, you're on 21. Doug, zooming away on 34 points. Obviously,
arbitrary scoring system hasn't changed.
No, of course not.
So if we've learned anything, Doug should be demanding a stopping of counting of points now.
Yeah. I could.
He's already won.
It is a pain having to add them up, to be honest. But yeah, anyway. Right, next up. Having lost, ironically lisped when I was trying to say his name, having lost to Sean Connery this week, arguably the greatest 007, who is sport's greatest ever number seven? Let's go back to you, Doug.
There can be only one answer to this. I have a teddy bear named after him from when I was a 4-year-old. Captain Marvel himself, Brian Robson, with a Y, not an I. Started off at West Bromwich Albion, brought in by Ron Atkinson.
These are just for the spelling.
Not only was he an absolute dynamo in midfield, but was absolutely a dynamo in the pub as well, as most footballers of the mid-80s to early 90s vintage will tell you. And not only that, but obviously being a huge Brian Robson fan, one of the greatest moments of my life, working at Old Trafford, walking down the side of the pitch on a rig day, God himself walks up towards me. He's on a like corporate tour, nods sagely as only a deity would do, and said to me, "All right, mate." I nearly creamed my pants. I immediately phoned every other United fan that I've known since birth and exclaimed that Brian Robson is now officially my mate. With God. If any of you need anything, just ask.
Isn't Brian Robson the guy who was mainly responsible for the dentist chair in the run up to Euro 96? Was he the assistant manager at the time?
He was a coach, wasn't he, for Terry Venables, or was he assistant manager?
All I know is that him and Paul McGrath were legendary boozers and they were on the same team together. And Paul McGrath left United and went to Aston Villa because him and Robbo were such a bad influence on the rest of the squad that Ferguson had to split them up.
The story goes with that tour to China, Hong Kong, was that Terry Venables said, lads, have a few beers, make sure you're back at a sensible time. I'm going to send Brian Robson to keep an eye on you. And oh, I think God, when everyone had stopped laughing, the inevitable happened.
Send Uday Hussein to look after this this all girls school. Where have all the girls gone, Uday? I don't know, but you know, maybe don't check the back garden.
Pat, let's move on.
Swiftly.
Greatest number seven, please.
I like going after an answer that's, there can only be one answer and having to give us a different answer. I went for John Elway, 2-time Super Bowl champion, one club man. I'm a sucker for a one club man. And you can tell he's a phenomenal number seven because both his college team and his pro team retired the number seven jersey after he finished playing for them.
Just got COVID, John Elway.
They won't be retiring his GM suit, will they?
No.
Quite, no.
Russ, greatest number seven.
Well, going on from what yours, Doug. I'm going to go for a gentleman called Eric Daniel Pierre Cantona. He...
Daniel?
Yes, that is his name. He signed for Manchester United from Leeds in November 1992 after reportedly banging the back doors off of Leslie Ash, and Lee Chapman at the time was going to fill him in. Don't know how true that is, but it's a story that has done the rounds many, many times. It was thought that the Leeds chairman actually phoned Martin Edwards at the time to discuss the availability of Dennis Irwin. When Ferguson and Edwards decided that Irwin wasn't for sale, they gave up their pursuit of David Hurst, Matt Letizier and Brian Dean to go after Eric Cantona.
Oh, my God.
And look how that ended up. Cantona was an absolute talisman for United, scored some incredible goals. But it would probably be most famously known for his exceptional kung fu kick at Selhurst Park on that cold Tuesday evening or whatever it was, and getting banned for 10 months for drop kicking a fan, which is probably the most incredible thing to happen on a football pitch, or off a football pitch, should we say.
For that length of ban, you get the sense that he didn't regret it either.
Oh, no.
He's still happy with his decision-making. It was
I bet if you asked him today, he would go, "Oh, fuck yes."
Sometimes justice takes precedence, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned David Hurst, because they could have been teammates at Sheffield Wednesday, but Sheffield Wednesday had Cantona on trial and went, "Nah, he's not good enough," and then Leeds picked him up and the rest is history. Much like Wednesday.
Okay, next question. With pay-per-view Premier League games still going on at £14.95 a pop, what's the best alternative way of spending £14.95? And I'm not having any sort of charitable answers here. And this could go in all sorts of ways. We'll start with you, Pat.
I mean, as anyone who knows me will testify, I think with my belly ahead of anything else. So I've gone for an order of Dak Kang-yong and Dak Bibimbap for my local Korean takeaway. Dak Kang-yong, fried chicken balls with sweet chili sauce.
I mean, you've got a local Korean takeaway. It's impressive.
Yeah. I don't know why, but they moved in and I'm delighted.
That's almost worth me driving half an hour for. And I've eaten tonight. Right, Doug, how are you spending your £14.95?
Very simply, to move things on, 5 minutes on the internet, you can get a Brazilian wax in Liverpool for £15. Treat yourself.
In Liverpool, nowhere else. Okay.
Well, I don't know what the market rate is for a Brazilian wax in Amersham, but the first one I found was in Liverpool and it was £15, so do that. Treat your balls nice.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because we'll come on to mine.
It'd probably cost you £30, Russ, so don't get your hopes up.
Is this pod now sponsored by Manscaped?
Give us your answer.
Well, interestingly, you've put me after Doug, and I don't know whether you've done this purposefully, but all I did was Google £14.95 and hit the shopping button on Google, and the first thing that came up was goat milk skin repair cream for £14.95. Now, if you've had a Brazilian wax, maybe a back sack and crack, you'd probably need some goat milk skin repair cream to tide you over for a few days. So, you know, I'll tell you what I'd rather do than spend £14.95 on a Premier League football match that was I would rather rub goat milk skin repair cream into Doug's freshly waxed bollocks than pay £14.95 for a Premier League pass on box office.
Well, I'm glad I went for the takeaway option.
you scored more points than Russ or Doug did there, Pat, but you're still trailing on 41, Russ on 44, Doug on 53. All right, quickie next, and this will definitely be a quickie, I'm sure. With the news of Sir Bobby Charlton being sadly diagnosed with dementia, we would like to know, who is sport's greatest Bobby or Robert or Rob or Bob or whatever you're going to go with. Russ?
Very simply, Robert William Robson. Sir Bobby Robson, if you had to think about that.
Actually, more points for that. I like, yeah, who doesn't love Sir Bobby? Pat?
I went for Robert Pires, or Robert Pires, as he'd be pronounced on our local radio, but that's another complaint for another time. World Cup winner, European Championship winner, Premier League winner, member of the Arsenal Invincibles team. And what I didn't know until I looked him up for this was he played for Goa in the Indian Super League as his final professional club, which is a nice little summer holiday job for him.
Yeah. There's been some players in that. I think Alessandro Del Piero played out there, didn't he?
He did indeed. And Robbie Fowler.
And David James got his first managerial gig out there, I think.
Teddy Sheringham. Well, all right. And Doug, sport's greatest Robert.
Left field. I like to try and squeeze a bit of motorcycle racing in, but Kenny Roberts, who was a three-time MotoGP champion in the 70s, the coolest era of motorsport when you drove your motorbike to the track in a van and then smoked fags and tried not to die. He was one of the best, a blonde Californian with the middle name Leroy.
More points for that. Okay. Right, next up, with England's biggest football clubs trying to organise their own European Super League yet again. No idea how that's going to go. But which sport or which league would you like to restructure or set up if you had a free reign? Russ?
Rugby have got a competition called the Champions Cup. It's been running pretty successfully over the last few years. I can't even remember how many pools it was. Anyway, they
it sounds it like up. It needs sorting out, Russ.
It did need sorting out.
There were lots of pools. The top team from each group went through five pools. Top team from each group went through, and the three best second places went into the quarterfinals. That's what it was. They've now introduced this ridiculous two pool system where they've got put games against people that are not in their pool, but there's a big wider pool of teams, and it's just the uttermost of bullshit. So either put the Champions Cup the way it was, or just make a nice little four pool team system where the top team goes through and then you go, you know, eight teams of four or whatever it might be. Just stop fucking about with it.
Okay.
And I've explained that horrifically.
Doug, what are you going to do?
I'd assume the reins of the Lawn Tennis Association. I would then wind it up, insist that every tennis racket was sent to space and fired into a fucking coronal mass ejection.
Not replace it with anything. That's fantastic. Nope.
That's how I'd restructure tennis.
You might be a bit poorer.
Just think of all those 16 or 14, 15-year-old kids that will no longer have sweaty towels thrown at them in the age of coronavirus.
All right, Pat.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't pick horse racing as my answer because I was going to do the same gag as Doug just did. My shortlist was basically a list of corrupt organisations that need the rock kicking out of them, like the IOC and FIFA and all that sort of stuff. But I eventually went for Formula One, and maybe not for the reasons you'd think. Formula One has kind of descended into this fairly boring procession going around a lot of really dull tracks. But single-seater racing can be brilliant if you go down to the more junior formulas. And so I was thinking about the motorsports I most like are ones where it's really competitive, there's lots of overtaking, it's really a test of the driver's skill. So what we need to do in Formula One, I think, is to just issue them with one car that they can change the settings on and like paint up how they want. And then it's a true test of your car setup and your driving skill and that combination of strategy on the day.
No one likes single make series, they're rubbish.
Does this is a really boring question, but does Lewis, assume Lewis Hamilton still wins?
He did last weekend.
He's got the most amount of wins ever now, hasn't he?
You know what I mean.
The easy way to fix Formula One is just to allow multiple types of normally aspirated engines, V12s, V6, V8s, then it'd all be good.
That's what they used to do, didn't they?
Yeah. Car manufacturers want to make hybrid cars, so that's why they've got these stupid engines that no one can afford to make. If they went back to V6, V8, V12, you'd have 20 manufacturers in it tomorrow. There you go.
There you go. I'm not giving you any points, but fine.
It's like when they say Apollo, like we've got the technology to get to the moon because of the Apollo landings, right? But NASA don't want to use it because they want to make new shit. But that costs a shitload of money, so they won't make it. Like, just use the Apollo stuff. That was all really good. Got them there. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Dickheads.
Have a point. There you go. All right. You're still in the lead, but it has closed up a bit. You're on 68, Patrick 64, Russ 55, and it's all to play as we head.
Did I get no points from that last round?
You got 5 points for that last round. Would you like to audit it?
No, mate.
All right. Shut up. All to play for as we go into any other business. And you can start, Russ, as you're trailing.
Okay. I want to talk about Scott. I mean, talk about if you don't make it, Sky will. there used to be a program on Sky, on Sky Arts, I think, about Sky's, Britain's greatest woodworker. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah,
I know the cameraman on it.
Do you? Yeah. Hosted by Rick Edwards and others, but seemingly has now been cancelled because on the show they managed to cast or have somebody with tattoos all over his face that seemingly relate to promoting the sort of Aryan Brotherhood and Nazi Germany. The tattoo in particular was an 88, not two fat ladies, but I think it's supposed to represent Heil Hitler, isn't it? The show has unsurprisingly and unceremoniously been cancelled after it had been shot, after it had probably all been completed and, you know, whatever.
But hey, everyone got paid. Don't worry about it.
They still got paid.
Well, all the guys that made the show would have got paid. It's been made.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, how could it go through? How could it go through?
How does that happen?
Like all of the edits, how has it gone through all of the everything and gone to air, and then someone has noticed this guy's tattoo and got tattoos on his face, mate.
But mate, in the edit suite and during the show, there are no busy cunts looking at every single frame of every single second of every single minute of that show going, how could I write a tweet about this?
But the guy has come out and said, it's nothing to do with racism and Nazi Germany stuff. And all
it doesn't matter, though. Sure. Twitter's spoken.
Yeah. Also, I'm not so sure about that.
No, that too. Yeah, totally. All right.
So there you go. They just made me laugh this week.
Okay, Pat.
I wanted to talk about bands making me worried. And part of that was my own idiocy, but part of that was genuine. So I read a tweet from a pro-Trump tweet from Billy Joe Saunders earlier today and thought, oh my God, not Green Day. I thought they were good. That's Billy Joe Armstrong. It's fine. Don't worry about it. The other thing that I saw today from a band I love and respect was The Offspring covering a Christmas song and promoting it on November the 4th. I mean, come on, guys. You're better than that.
Jesus. They must be hard up.
Mm.
All right. We'll finish with Doug.
It's going back a week or so, but I popped out for a little walk with my missus, and we got back in the car after the walk and we decided we were going to go to the garden centre. So we headed off down a little country road through a puddle. Then through another puddle, which turned into a 1.5-foot lake into which my car plunged nose first, ingesting upwards of 400 million litres of water, totally destroying the engine and leaving me knee-deep in water trying to push it out. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to push an automatic car with a with an automatic handbrake.
2 feet of water.
Not that easy, I'll give you.
not when you're 4 foot six and really weak.
No, well, waist high water then. So, yeah, kids, if you see a big puddle in the road, make sure you can get through it or just turn around, because honestly, £10,000 worth of damage to my car was caused by driving through a puddle. I cannot tell you how stressful that is.
Wow. Is it a new car, mate?
Yeah. It's not covered under warranty, Russ.
It's insurance, though, presumably.
Yeah, so after much worrying, and the other thing I'd like to say is, if you've ever done something that you're worried about how much it's... So if you get caught speeding, or like, the worst thing you can do is look on the internet for advice.
Yeah.
Like...
Not, what,
it's
Twitter.
Just incredible that you know, it led me down a bit of a rabbit hole. I started putting in just like random things, like, I've got a pain in my knee, what might it be? You know, testicular cancer. You've definitely got, and then you'll get some other geezer going, it's definitely not testicular cancer, mate. It sounds like you've got bowel cancer. You don't know nothing about cancer. What are you on about? So I put my pain, and then you get the original poster going, but the pain's in my knee. Why have I got bowel cancer? It's just,
because your knee bone's connected to you.
I mean, mate, there was everything. It was like, oh, some like Darren from Romsey has just said, oh yeah, if you've got water in the engine, mate, you might as well throw your car in the bin. The insurance won't help you either. And when I phoned the insurance company up, they just went, oh, driven into a puddle, have you? Yeah, all right, no worries. Where's the garage? So weird. I just don't bother. The internet is a terrible, terrible place.
Good, so I'm guessing Doug's car right now is in a garage full of rice, yeah?
Yeah. Just put it in a big Tupperware.
What I would have liked to have seen is you ask for advice on Twitter. I've driven my car into a puddle, Twitter. What should I do?
Oh, if only...
There'd have been some Irishman saying, "Ah, oh, it's your own fault. You're English."
Yeah.
How's that probably help? Probably offside. Went in too high.
Yeah.
I wrote my car off because a deer hit me 5 or 6 years ago. It's probably
a deer hit you. Yeah. Just jumped out of the fence and just punched you in the face.
Yeah, not the car. It's just me. Yeah. But apparently,
it has to do with larruping down a country lane at 80.
Yeah, it was.
Now, if the insurance company is listening, that is not true.
Tops.
It was, well, you'll know the road probably, Doug. It was the A120 between Little Haddam and Puckeridge. Straight bit of road. It was the deer's fault completely, but they don't have insurance, and an uninsured deer.
Was it in the Vitesse?
Pardon.
Was it in the Rover Vitesse?
I'll just say yes.
What was the courtesy car? Tell me it was a Mini Metro.
I wish it was.
I once drove. Do you remember the road from Stansted Airport via Elsdon Golf Club that ends up at the bottom of Takeley?
Yes, I do.
I was playing golf at Elsdon with my mate Dave Clayton, and I said to him, when we drive home, this was on the 17th, when we drive home, I'm going to give you Nicky Grist-esque rally driving instructions on how to drive home, and you've got to follow them like you're Colin McRae. And everything was going brilliantly until we got to two corners before the roundabout at the end, and I gave him completely the wrong direction, and he genuinely nearly just drove us into a ditch. That would have been my fault.
At least you weren't his co-pilot in a helicopter.
Four right tightens into roundabout, and it was a three left into a roundabout. He got so into it, he was like looking, like holding the steering wheel, chopping it like this, yeah, just turned the wrong way, and then realised, you know, as he went over the other side of the road. There you go. That's a story, isn't it?
When you say it would have been your fault, I think the authorities would disagree with that.
We may have been slightly lubricated from clubhouse beverages. Who knows?
Oh dear.
Either way, it was bad.
All right. It won't shock you to know that you are in the final. Well, only being three of you, there's only one of you that's going to miss out. And it's pretty clear who that is. Sorry, Russ.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you're miles behind. That always kept happening when we did this before. I don't know why. But here we are again. Pat and Doug, you are in the final. Pat, you came second. So I'm going to let you choose whether to go first or second at defend the undefendable, which is 22 second timer, of course, to defend something that's undefendable. Would you like to go first?
I will go first, yes.
Okay. You are going to have 22 seconds on. EFL clubs should give a fair share of their iFollow receipts to the Premier League to help subsidise their pay-per-view games because that's where the real fans are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, Premier League fans are being charged £14.95 to watch a game, whereas EFL season ticket holders are getting it for free. So it's only right that we subsidise those high flyers that really put the national game on the map. You know, they're the ones that bring the money into the country and the special players that people want to see, and we're just grubbing around at the bottom, grassroots farming.
There you go. Time's up. You defended that pretty well, I think. Doug, let's see how you get on with... Ryan Giggs should take charge of the Wales women's football team while he's suspended from managing the men.
Well, it's a very sensible idea because the motivational tactics he used would undoubtedly get the correct results out of the players. And if there's one thing that I know, and I know this from personal experience, is that women react positively to physical aggression. Just keep belting them until they do what you want them to do. Make my dinner. Smack.
Time is up. I have to give the win to Patrick because I just do. Otherwise, I couldn't live with myself.
That is the best 20 seconds in Bungie chat history. Possibly podcast in history.
It doesn't matter what I want to do. I have to give the win to Patrick, and you'll understand that.
I did what you asked me to do, mate.
You definitely did.
If there's one thing I know about women, it's that they react very well to threats of physical violence and aggression. Absolutely kill me. Well played. I mean, yeah. that's punching chat.
I don't know what more I've got to do to win. I genuinely don't. How I can.
Doesn't matter who wins.
It does.
We should say kudos to Adam for getting through 45 minutes of punching chat without asking anyone to finish him off as well. That was a good effort today.
I nearly did a couple of times.
That was good fun. Like you say, 45 minutes of punching chat. Optimum episode length.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, you certainly don't want an hour and a half of Long Snapper podcast when you can have this, that's for sure.
Is it only an
that's
hour
why
and
you
half
didn't invite Mark, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's long. Cool. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Doug. That was good fun, considering before I hit record, I was less than enthusiastic. That defend the undefendable has literally made my night. Maybe I might go in and employ some of those tactics. we'll be back. It's lockdown time now. So by the time you listen to this, we'll be in lockdown. Although it's a bit of a shit lockdown because there'll still be lots of stuff open, shops, few shops, people going to work, you know, it's not everybody locked down, and there'll still be some sport. So whilst there's no rugby this weekend. There's Premiership football and lots of other different stuff. And then the Nations Cup return, or the Nations Cup starts week after next. Are you working on any of that, Doug?
I'm just doing Premiership now. That's the only rugby I'm doing. Every Nations Cup match clashes with the Premiership, so the first few weeks of the Premiership are going to be great.
More A-League.
Yeah.
All right,
pretty much, mate.
Money is money, Sam. Leave you to it. Thanks very much for coming, and we will speak to you very, very soon. Go well.
Cheers. Go well.